Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Yo, look, man. Ebro, Laura, Rosenberg. Look at this guy. Give it up for Cat Williams. I'm excited,
take a look,
man.
At this man.
Look at the bro, man. Look at him. Look at him.
There
what,
he
what?
Is.
Yo, listen. You looking Woo! Amazing, sir. What's happening?
Doing excellent. Good to see you guys.
Yo, it's now, a pleasure, Cat.
Williams, it's great.
Cat Williams, you back on the road now, man. This COVID thing slowed things down, but you back in Brooklyn, man. We excited to see you out in the city.
Man, what a wonderful time to be able to get to the Barclays. It's perfectly timed. New York is in a resurgence. You know, things that used to be bad are getting good. It's an exciting time.
How
I'm talking about the Nets.
Yeah.
of course. Of course. It's time now, for the Kat, Nets.
Kat, how rough was this COVID for you and your family and just, you know, being not able to tour? You love touring. You love going to see the people. How tough was this last year and change, 2 years almost?
I think it was all about balance, honestly, because I did miss everything that you mentioned, but I also appreciated not as well. You know, a lot of us had our nose to the grindstone our whole life, and there had never been a timeout the entire game. Nobody had ever, you know what I mean? Like, this was, if you was 100 years old like myself, this was the first real official timeout we've ever seen. So a lot of God's people were able to prosper in the midst of this terrible time, even though it was horrific for a lot. Good is still good.
Right. And so you were able to connect with family and spend some quiet time and reset finally.
Whatever your relationships were, they either disappeared over that time or they strengthened to a place that might have even surprised you, you know?
Right.
So that was personally, comedically, me and my dog are as close as we could possibly be. Like, everything is linked up in
me
the
too.
Universe.
Yo, Kat, who's in your... Who do you live with? Who's in your household? Like, were you alone, literally you and your dog over COVID, or did you have a squad there?
Yeah, somewhere right in between those. for a portion of it, because I spent it broken up over three regions of the country. So I was on the West Coast for, we'll say, 4 or 5 months of it, and then towards the middle, I was in Texas, and then I had to shoot back up to New York and then shoot back to Florida. So I was able to get a lot in that amount of time, still got two movies out, and was able to put another one in can, still got a special in the can all through this period. But so I was able to keep everything to the smallest circle where I could trust your breath. Yeah, really, it was just me and God through the pandemic, and you know, the nice ladies a blessing.
Now, one of the things I think is powerful that you're saying too is just that, like, you know, the ability to have an official timeout. Was that a place mentally you were able to go to right away, is understand like, oh, okay, this is an official timeout, I'm gonna go sit down? Because I know some people struggled with in the beginning with knowing that this is the pause time. This is the time where you get to, you know, really reassess your life, your health, your personal health, your bonds. Did that get to you? Did you recognize that right away?
Well, it would have been hard to recognize most of it right away, just because we didn't know the length of time that we were talking about. And honestly, most of us thought that it was pretty ridiculous to think that the world would stop even for a week or slow down for a month. But all of us have been trained for timeouts. You either had it as a kid and the whole thing was sit there and think about what you've done, or for a basketball player, it's practice. It's what the shoot around. It's what happens when you're not in front of the TV camera playing. So for God's people, we kind of already understood that persecution was going to have to happen, and there was trials and tribulations, and some things were going to be shaken up on that side. So spiritually, we were kind of prepared. But just as a person, I had already dealt with solitary confinement and, things like that. And that's what this really was. This was, I imagined every day that, you know, it can't be that bad, because what a wonderful jail cell this life is. And right. So at each point, you're able to really soak in what it is that you can get out of this situation. You know, no matter how much you loved your kids, you realize that you are not a teacher and you are not a school administrator and you are not smarter than a fifth grader. And, it was humbling for all sides of the family, you know, just because everybody had to switch up. Everybody had to change. Everybody had to adjust. There's people now with businesses that don't have no business at all. They just know they can't work for nobody no more. So, you know, it's an exciting time to be alive. And the Barclay gives us the greatest group of people possible. You know, it's almost like a representation of the real U.S. melting pot. So can't wait to get there.
How many shows you got on the docket for the tour outside of this? How long you going to be on the road? Is this full-fledged? You going full-fledged right here? Or is this just a little taste?
It's scaled back to 100, same as the last 16. So, yes, this will make the 17th 100-city tour. We just fooled people and put the first 20 up. We got people rooting, "Where's my city?" We ain't even got to you. That's a fifth of it. Don't trip. Your boy's coming through. But, yeah, we got a wonderful squad. Because it's the time of the super team, we were able to put a super team together. You know, it was important that we have a strong center, you know, just because the game is so tough these days. And so we were able to get the queen of comedy, Linnell, the original bad girl of comedy, in that center position, which gives us the weight, the sturdiness, the dependableness, and the glitz and the glamour as well. So that was important. And then we needed somebody really important at point guard, and we were able to get the energy and intellect of Red Grant there for that, as far as spacing. People know how I like my spacing. And then we were able to get power forward, we were able to get the great legendary Mark Curry, and be able to get the Mark Curry that opened for Richard Pryor and now is at his prime again somehow. It's just amazing to be hanging with Mr. Cooper. And then we got Corey Zuman Miller, and we follow all that up with Raggedy Ass Cat Williams. It's really not what you want to see. It's like Russell Westbrook coming down the lane in a dress. You just know you're going to get dunked on no matter how this goes. And just glad to be able to have a super team to be able to travel around in today's league, actually.
Cat, you talked about, you know, having situations which you had to sit down before. And obviously, you know, we follow your career and we know you've had those moments. You seem like...
Which moments were those?
There have been some arrests, you know, some sit down real quick moments.
Some sit downs.
That have happened. Well, and
I think we've learned. See, a lot of times we don't understand when we're looking at a predecessor. So what Cat Williams was attempting to show in that performative art piece was that a rich black man who wasn't selling any drugs or stealing anything or a criminal by nature could travel all across the country and get in trouble all across the country just because of what he looked like, because he was wealthy, because he had a nice car, because he was in hoods all across the country, because he does 100 shows, because there's a cloud of smoke, because there's a crowd of people, that just because of that, he could go to jail all across the country. And if we saw that and we went, wow, our brother is really being victimized, then we got what the point was, and we would know now when we start seeing the things happen that this is the way it is. Or we could just mock and ridicule our brother as if him getting arrested was somehow an indicative on him before Karen's. and whatnot. But now that we can see better, I'm sure people understand that.
Well, and now the cloud of smoke.
Get in trouble, go to jail, and they don't get out of jail. And
right.
They're just in jail. And I think we have 30 rappers who are on the radio and in jail and not getting out. It's not a game.
It's not a game.
There's no stories that Cat Williams paying people off or
right.
killing witnesses or
no,
any of that.
No.
So it's quite possible that in most of these cases, the things we thought he was doing are not what he was doing.
It was fun
for 10 years to say the guy's on drugs. But if the drug is THC, you should probably knock it off. We're in the middle of an opioid crisis. You know what I mean? Like, we have people dying for real. Like, you touch fentanyl and you die. And you want to make the weed smoker somehow the criminal element that we need to clean the streets. It's sad. But we're better now. And thank God it's a new time. And people are smarter than they were before. And the media is not quite so hungry for a stupid story. Because, you know, other actors of all colors and stuff OD all the time, and they don't even make the story. So, you know.
Shit, nah, the media is still hungry for a stupid story.
They just, right.
Shit.
That's it.
And now that cloud. And so, Kat, how does that make you feel? The cloud of smoke is now completely legal, and yet you have people like you who are arrested because of these insane laws, and no one's able to give you your time back now that weed is totally okay.
Seven Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
That was the whole thing is in 19 of these felonies, I'm holding a prescription for the medication that is prescribed to me by the doctor. You follow what I'm saying? So it was interesting that we weren't really ready to get into people's medical situations like that now. But now we feel like we can mandate medical suggestions for people. So, you know, we're in a crazy time where decisions have to be made, and it's time to not over exaggerate things and to actually give things their credit. The fact of the matter is that the weed plant is helpful for everybody on earth, whether it's the CBD or the hemp or the THC or what it is. It's a multifaceted thing that has brought trillions of dollars worth of revenue to the United States just in the small time that we've utilized it. So,
well, you know, they had to set up to tax it because before that it was just taxing black folks. So, you know what I mean? They
I
had
know
to figure out how they was going
to
make money
that.
On it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that comedian too.
So,
no, hey,
so
Ebro Dart has been around for as long as I've been around, so I know of your qualities, sir.
So, Kat, we need to talk about this regalia you coming through with today. You know what I'm saying? This matching outfit. You know, is this the Cat Williams ensembles that we're gonna start seeing on stage now? Because you know, every time you step on stage, your ensemble speaks volumes.
No. I'm probably too old to dress for other people, really. Like we didn't go out and get this furniture for this occasion or this outfit or put it on for that or any of that. You know what I mean?
It just worked out perfectly.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, it's a great day. So I was trying to help your screen a little, and I messed up mine. But, you know.
No, we good. We got you still.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah,
hold on. Let's take the whole.
Yeah, you know. I'm saying we're not. You see that? Did you see the shoe cam? Did you like
yeah,
to see
the shoe
oh,
cam.
The Fendi sneaker
the
cam.
Fendi sneaker situation.
This is our regular. This is our driving outfit. You know what I mean? We're not regular.
Kat, do you feel like, I'm not just saying this because you're here. Like, you are legitimately one of the most brilliant comics of the last 20, 25, 30 years. And I feel like everybody knows what a brilliant mind you are. Do you feel that you've gotten? Like, do you feel that you're in that class that people fully understand and you understand how beloved you are and how much people appreciate Cat Williams, the stand-up comedian and actor?
Here's the answer. Like, the Emmy really didn't mean that much to me. It just meant something to me because on our side of the war, coming in, we have to agree that we're not going to win any awards and we're not going to be nobody's favorite and we're going to miss out on a lot of the things that they're going to get over there because we're not like them and we don't do what they do. We're not willing to do the things they're willing to do. Therefore, we won't get what they get. And we sign up for that on this side. So anytime there's a breakthrough and we do, it's monumental. But I don't really think that you could think somebody is brilliant and also tell this narrative of how they might be crazy or they might be on drugs or they might make bad decisions or any of that. So I can't put those things together. But I do know that comedically, I've been having a conversation for this amount of time with the audience. Mm-hmm. And my brilliance is the stupidity to stay in that same conversation and to not use any filters. Like, it had to be a choice 20 years ago that I'm not going to wear makeup or get Botox, even though I know them things will make me look better, but I don't really want to look better. What I want is I want the Cat Williams that you see in the movie. I want that to be the same dude you see at the gas station. That's what I was trying to do. My fans think like, oh, he's been blackballed. He has been not. I heard a comedian say, yeah, but you see, Cat Williams ain't selling soap or diapers or none of that. Because they think like I've been blackballed and I'm not. I don't do sponsorships or endorsements because I'm blackballed. But the truth is, in 20 years, I've never been on a commercial audition in my life. Like, I never let my tour get sponsored when I was broke or now. Like, I don't take free clothes. Like, I dress myself. Like, I don't have a stylist. Like, my point is, I can't win over there because I don't play. I don't participate. Like, you can't buy me, not because I'm not for sale. You can't buy me because I'm not in the store. It's different.
Right.
So, if there's brilliance in that, then I'm appreciative to that. And I'm trying to be a brilliant person, not a brilliant comedian. And my fan base is brilliant. So we're able to have great conversation.
You know? But how fire is it that after a career like that, in which you've completely gotten to operate in your own space, you do that Alligator Man episode of Atlanta, and then you still end up snatching an Emmy for that one performance. To me, that's pretty amazing.
Do you want to know the hidden, real amazing gem of it, though?
Please.
Yeah.
Why did he win the Emmy, though? He won the Emmy because what that guy was saying is what they've been wanting that guy to say. They wanted to see that guy like that. That's how we wanted to see him, in a dirty wife beater and an old robe, and we wanted him to apologize and say, I'm sorry, Mills, and that's what we would like.
It's almost so, like when we was talking about Halle Berry winning that award in Monster.
Or Denzel,
they gave it to him when he played the crooked cop, but they didn't give it to him when he was in Glory or Malcolm X.
Yeah, part of the pivot foot in this business is finding out what the people want and delivering it. And sometimes you're not going to like what it is that they want, but that doesn't, you know.
So did you not like the episode? Did you like the episode you did? Or do you just find it gross that that's what you were rewarded for?
I don't find it gross in any way. I'm sorry if I put it out there like that. I didn't mean it like that. I just understood what it was. Understand, Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, the great, he told me I was going to win the Emmy before I saw the script, to the point where I told him I don't need to see the script. I'll just be there. And so what I'm saying is, wow, none of it was accidental.
Like, right.
We understand.
Got it. Yes, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Not. Yeah.
Y'all not knew what y'all was doing. It didn't happen to you. You happened to them.
yeah, I wasn't the impetus. It was already in me for me to mess up as it came to me.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of times there's really only you blocking your blessing. Like, there is no involvement of Satan or the ops or at all. Sometimes it's really you that has to step out of your way so that you can get what you need done.
When you step on that stage in these 100 dates you're doing this year,
yeah,
you know, the hot topics, the vaccine, the unvaxxed, COVID-19, you know, politics, you know, how does Cat Williams, you know, I mean, you normally go straight at it, and I'm sure you're going to do the same thing here, but what's the hot topics for you right now?
Well, it certainly couldn't be the ones you just mentioned, just because you just mentioned them. Like, so that's the thing for me is I'm not trying to have the easiest conversation. So it's 30,000 comedians out here. You know what I mean? If my lineup of conversation was what you just said, which would be, isn't that what we're all talking about? Yeah. So I'm saying, yes, you do have to touch on those things because they are affecting us all. But I'm not having current event conversation because it's current. Like, we have a lot of people that do that and do that great. That's what Wendy Williams, that's what Dish Nation, that's what I'm saying. We can be kept up with things, but this narrative is about something that we've been discussing for 10 years. So as a comedian and an audience, we've been talking about climate change for 15 years, back when people didn't understand what it was or didn't think it was real. And it was just us and Al Gore, you know? And now, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I was telling people that HAARP could change the weather and, you know, that they could do all of that, that was on my tour called Conspiracy Theory. But this year, Saudi Arabia put drones in the air and made it rain in Saudi Arabia because it was 125 degrees. Mm-hmm. And they did it on TV where you could see what they were doing. And so now the fact that 3 years ago it was crazy talk and now this stuff is as legitimate as it can be. The fact that money is invisible, you check your pocket, see if you have Bitcoin in there. Money's invisible means we can all get the bag. You know, it's a changing environment. So that's why we bring up the current conversation, so we can set where we are in time. And that's why when you go back and look at the specials, they should be little microcosms of time. And that's the conversation we've been having. So that's probably what I'm most proud of as a comedian, is that part.
Going back to, you know, the way you were characterized, you know, over in the news cycles and different shit, you know, cancel culture has become a hot topic. As a comedian, you know, and somebody who pushes the line and challenges his people thinking, well, the challenges conversation.
Yeah.
How do you for other comedians, you know, you're an OG in the game, and you see a lot of young people coming up trying to navigate this game that you know have helped pave the way for them to have a voice. Do you have any insight for the young comedian out there that's on the come up, you know, navigating this cancel culture social media thing?
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
I would just remind he or she or them that they can't cancel what they don't validate. It's you seeking validation. It's you who want people to validate you. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's what gives them the right to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the validation. So, maybe you don't need to look for that first. I feel about cancellation the way I feel about expiration. I think milk is great until it's expired. That's all. it was just to hold people accountable that weren't being held accountable, you know? So in all jobs, there's some accountability. And part of the money that you make is how well you can handle that. Like, they can't give you a football contract that says you're not going to pull something. There's no basketball contract that'll keep you from being hurt. Like, it's not the way it goes. You set up as best as you can, and you go for it as hard as you can. But anything that would take you away from, oh, I can't do comedy the way I, that's not even a thing. Like, nobody goes with that. Like, we all adapt. So in track, it used to be that if you false started, they would just start again. Eventually it became, no, if you false start, you out. Well, that's not fair. I should be able to make a mistake. You can make a mistake. You just out. You can come back on the next race. Like, so I'm saying that's how things really go. And rap is not the same now as it was. And it's not worse, no matter what people say. It's moving and changing, and it's great, and it's fluid, and you know, change is important. And so for the comedian, you're a surfer. It's not your job to criticize the waves, to wish the ocean had more salt in it, to wish there wasn't fish in it, to none of that. You handle what it is, and you don't want it to be less than that, or to be less than that, if that makes sense.
Are you affected?
Sorry about that.
No worries. Kat, are you affected when you see something like last week where Norm MacDonald passed away, famed comedian, SNL alum, and you see now with social media, we live in a time where people can really celebrate someone publicly in a way that never happened previously. Are you affected by seeing a fellow comedian celebrated in that way, someone posting all their great moments and celebrating them when maybe that person had been around, as he had been, sick for the last 10 years and not seeing that same celebration, and then when they're gone, the whole world pours it on them? Are you affected when you watch something like that?
No, not anymore. God really blessed me in this industry to have really known some of the greatest people in our business. And he also allowed me to lose them and to see what happens after. So I knew Prince since I was 12 years old. And he told me that when he died, they were going to try to make him a drug addict. And he told me a lot of things that didn't happen until later, but he was ahead of his time like that. I was with Heavy D when it was his time, and to know Charlie Murphy, to know John Witherspoon, I'm saying to know Ronaldo Ray, like I've known Bill Wilson, like just to know great people and to know what happens. You appreciate however it goes. Whatever Norm MacDonald received, it was too small. The news cycle is too quick. He gets a day for his flowers, like every other news story. And so do you wish that Paul Mooney had gotten a portion of that? You do. But you understand that it's all relative. None of us is going to die a sexy death just because there are none. It's just that most people will die and not be remembered in their field, in their neighborhood, or in their lane. And anytime that you can do a good enough job down here to have scored in all of those departments, then you know you're taking a great report card up. And we don't have the sadness because we want people to graduate. You know what I mean? So when somebody gets taken, we cry because we're at least a portion human. But at the end of the day, it's disrespectful to cry too much when we want you to go where you're going.
Make it to the next level.
Hey, we got to graduate, man. It would be ridiculous for the eighth grader to be crying about the 12th grade or graduating. It's not like that. We have to graduate. We have to go to the next level. And for those of us on our side, when it's time, it really is that time, you know? So we don't look at it that way. Like, you know, we didn't lose. Like, John Witherspoon was never going to stop working. He was never going to stop winning. He was never going to get his full credit. He was never not going to be funny. So what was the point? You needed him to live for 1,000 years? He scored. He did everything he could do in all the lanes he did it there. What do you need him to be here for? Like,
right.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So, no, I'm not saddened by it. I'm appreciative, and shout outs to him.
A lot was made of the Versus conversation that somebody asked you. I don't know what outlet it was, but they asked you about participating in Versus, and would you battle Kevin
right,
Hart?
But that wasn't
right. That's what I was just about to say.
Answer. I'm saying right. In the context of what she and I were talking about, I wasn't even really answering it. I was just saying that, you know, I didn't need to be asked how I felt about the whole Versus setup of things. You know?
Right. My question was more along the lines of, could there even be a comedian versus, like, formatically? Do you even think that that could even happen?
And what did you mean when you said you and Steve Harvey did the original? What did that mean exactly also?
I just meant that. Like, that's the versus that we did in, I don't know, 07, 08, I'm saying, Detroit, Joe Louis, Arena.
It was show
for show. The original King of Comedy, I'm saying it was a versus and called that. I'm saying that's what we advertised it as.
Okay, right, wow. Right.
So that's what I meant by that.
Wow, okay, I didn't realize that. That's crazy.
Yeah, don't trip. If you hear anything I say that don't make sense, just assume it's a fact.
Now, did y'all go joke for joke on stage at the same time or separate acts?
No, we went hour for hour.
Hour. Well, and that's why I'm asking formatically. Otherwise, you just snapping. Like, it's not a versus couldn't go like you do a joke and then I'm going to do a joke and really get a rhythm with the audience. How would you even do a comedian? Like, it doesn't even make sense.
But first of all, let's not say it don't make sense just because you mad that you might like somebody who would get demolished if there was such a
thing. I'm saying in the context of like.
It can be done, sir. Certainly it can be done.
Okay.
But we haven't seen it done. And because I'm saying musically it's magnificent. Like, I love it musically. Like, it could go on forever. And I was only sad that it got bought up because I knew that would kind of change the variance of it. But I understand at the end of the day, it's a business for everybody. But comedically, like, it would have to be, it couldn't just be joke for joke. Jokes are in context of things. You know what I mean? So it would have to be pieces of this and that and this and that. And that's why I was saying, you know.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
Smash like that.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
I might be overqualified for it, but it's just, if it were going to be done comedically, you'd want to know what the setup was, what the parameters were, but it couldn't be as cut and dry as music, I don't think.
You insinuating that my favorite person would lose to you? Was that what you just said?
I wasn't insinuating that you had a favorite.
Because you're my favorite person, first of all.
So that would be a problem.
In a versus scenario,
okay,
you're my
I wasn't making that assumption.
You're my favorite person.
Thank you. I wasn't assuming that you hadn't picked me. I was saying if you didn't pick me, then that meant you had a plethora of options. And I was saying if you
and they'd all get smoked.
The plethora of options.
And something interesting about you as a comedy. Because it's
not fair, though, not because I'm better.
Right. But something interesting for me is how I've watched you as a comedian, whether that be at a live show, a special, things that where no cameras was running, which makes you very tough for many comedians in whatever scenario they pick for verses, is the rate at which you get jokes off. The when I watch comedians, it's kind of like a laughs per second thing that I look at. And I used to go to comedy clubs to watch comedians bomb too. Like, I love watching startup comedians. I love the whole idea that somebody gets on stage, people pay a ticket to go in, and it's like, yo, make me laugh, and that's your job. Is the hardest profession, I think, in entertainment, period. But your laughs per second quotient, and people can go back and watch Cat Williams' specials, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It doesn't take you long to get to the laugh.
Well, it's mathematically built like that. So it's very difficult for me to really be funnier than you if you have 5 minutes and I have 5 minutes. The only way that I could really be funnier than you legitimately and have the confidence about it is if I know that you're going to get 5 laughs and I'm going to get 10. If I can guarantee that I'm always going to get twice the laughs as you, I can guarantee that soon everyone will know I'm funnier than you, just mathematically. So if you're not thinking about that, I'm sure you can't do it. But all basketball players have to understand at some point that they're counting each of those shots. You're trying to get above 40% from the three.
Right.
So
you said it would be unfair for Kevin Hart to go against
you. But I'm saying, no. I'm saying unfair for comedians, not because I'm better. I wasn't saying it because of that. I'm saying it because I have commercially put out more opportunities than they have. So here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You couldn't possibly go 20 jokes per 20 jokes with me. Because even if your 20 jokes were all funnier than mine, there's a portion of them that nobody had heard until just then. And that's not what Versus is. Versus has to be a joke you already told that they already know. Do you follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And for the guy who has 10 specials, that's not fair. For the guy with 50 movies, is that fair? That the guy could do 6 clips from movies and and 2 jokes from each of his top 5 specials, and now that's 16 things and he only has 4 left? Like, no.
Is there anyone who you think would be fair up against you?
No. No, that's why I wasn't presenting it like I was better than anybody. I was saying I'm the worst fit for it. Like, it's going to be exciting no matter what names you put in there. You can put great names in there and it'll be even because this person will have an advantage over here. It's about having the material. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what.
And then also the equity with the audience, too.
Right. There's so many artists we wouldn't mind seeing in a Versus there, and they have 20 songs, but that's not what it's about. It's about the catalog. It's about the fact that you would have had to put a lifetime of work in to be able to present this lifetime piece of work. And at the end of the day, most people have just been getting the bag.
Mm. I hear that.
So, but you're open to a proposal. If it comes across, you're open to a proposal to do a Versus.
Dude, I'm honored that somehow my name is in the conversation. Remember,
listen,
I'm not
the way it went on socials, you already won, bro. The way it went on socials, they was like, listen, fam, nobody don't want that problem.
Yeah, it's true.
They don't want that smoke.
Yeah.
No. And legitimately, my brother, in no shape, form. Remember, I was trying to do comedian celebrity boxing, and they laughed at me like, oh, what a ridiculous thing. And then you come Logan and Jake, and now everybody's with it. But I've been about what I love the competition of it all. I love the craft. I love verses as a genre, and I especially love comedy. That's our game. You know what I mean? And I've the pandemic won't allow me anymore, though, to act like I'm not who I am. Because confident newcomers, you can catch them saying crazy stuff. You know, the heavy is the head. No. This is big head over here. Crown been weighing the same. Light neck ass. No. We're quite fine.
Yo, Cat, man, we look forward to hopefully having you in the studio again and being able to chop it up, man, when you're on the New York side.
It's crazy because I wasn't even going to eat breakfast or go to a club. I was just going to visit y'all. But, yeah, we will make that happen.
Done.
And the Barclays is going to be the greatest show I've done in years. Like, there's not even, I can't even tell you, like, it's just such an honor to be in a position where you could possibly do your best work. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird to, you know, but I thought the average black man lived to be 25 when I was growing up. So the fact that I'm, even if I wasn't a cat, I'm still on my second lifetime. You know what I mean? So it's just a great time for reinvention. Ebro's got a shirt on. Things are crazy.
Yeah, no, that's good news for all of us. That's great news for us. Listen, Kat, tickets are at Ticketmaster. The floor is completely sold out for the Barclays Center Saturday, October 9th, but there are some tickets up in the stands for sure. So tickets are at Ticketmaster October 9th.
Yo, Kat, man, keep going, bro. Keep shining light on them. Keep having fun. And thank you for joining the program. We'll see you in a minute.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Berg, as well. I appreciate you.
All right, Kat. Thanks, God. Thanks, care, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Good shit.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live. June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy, David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.